All right, good evening. I'm Sarah Magan with Washington FBLA, and we are here with Tim McLaughlin and Bill Howell from WSU, and Tim is from Agrimax, and they're going to talk a little bit about our Apple branding event for this year. So, Tim, would you like to go ahead and go first?
Sure. Yes, thank you. Tim McLaughlin with Agrimax Incorporated. We are a farm company. We farm about 5,000 acres of tree fruit, not quite from the Canadian border down to the Oregon border. And most of our acreage is in apples. And new varieties are our specialty. It's what our passion is. And we're really excited about some of the newly created research that's coming out of Washington State University and filtering into our industry. And we've got several offerings coming up that we need to brand and think about how we're going to present to the marketplace. And so I'm the boots on the ground guy that kind of gets to plant these trees. If you see driving around Eastern Washington, these orchards are very dense. They look more like like hedgerows. We're putting shade cloth over them, trellis, irrigation, ponds, overhead cooling, even netting for shade cloth. So lots of money going in the ground. We need to be successful with these things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds good. So Tim's bringing more of the boots on the ground farmer perspective, that type of perspective from the industry. And then Bill, talk a little bit about your role in the Apple.
Well, I'm Bill Howell. I worked for Washington State University for 37 years and retired in 2012. My job with WSU was I managed a program that helped keep viruses from getting into the country's orchards. And in that process, I dealt with a lot of new varieties, so many of which were branded by the sponsors of those varieties. But back in 1998, I started a breeding program of my own here on our little farm with an attempt to develop apples with red flesh. And we now have two selections in the market, one called Lucy Glow and one called Lucy Rose. And some of the growers are just starting to raise them, and they've been in the market for a couple years now. And in the process of doing this, I worked with proprietary variety management to help in the branding process.
Okay, awesome. And they weren't able to be here tonight, but they are, also being involved in this event a little bit. So what is something that, what are the types of important things about this industry that the competitors in this event might need to keep in mind as they are putting together their branding campaign and their presentation for the state conference?
I'll take a crack at that.
Go ahead.
I think when we think of apples, and we know that it's a healthy kind of out of hand snack you can eat. It also can be used for cooking, and it's got a versatility to it. But what we're really excited about is the eating experience right out of hand. And we're going after a target market that's fairly selective now. Lots of food choices out there. So we need to have something that's sweet, kind of sweet, tart, kind of a flavor profile, if you will. And crunch is key. So as you bite into that apple, it's kind of a snap to it. The skin is not too thick, so it's not difficult to chew, and that when you're finished with that apple, that you want to come back to it. It's got that kind of taste profile that makes you want to have another one. So that's really what we're trying to breed into a lot of what we're doing. And there's growing parts of it too, but usually the end consumer isn't as concerned about a piece of fruit that doesn't sunburn in our hot growing environment, or a piece of fruit that is not subject to certain growing pathogens, bacterium, or pests that we have. We don't really focus on that. We want to focus on the eating experience as it's delivered to the doorstep, even. Some of that's going on now, where apples are showing up right on somebody's doorstep, like a fresh experience, versus going to the store and buying through the usual retail channels. So we want the piece of fruit that's hardy enough to kind of withstand the distribution chain as well. That's part of the process too.
Yeah, this is Bill. You know, early in my career in the 70s and 80s, the Washington apple industry was basically represented by Red Delicious. And Washington Apple Commission did a good job of marketing that. But in the early 90s, mainly, probably a little before that, they started trying to improve on the flavor. And we started getting Galas and Fujis and some other apples that targeted people who wanted a sweet apple with crunch, or a kind of a balanced apple with a sweet tart like Gala. And then along came Honeycrisp, and I planted the first commercial orchard of Honeycrisp in the state back in 94. And it was amazing how that took off. That had a crispness and a juiciness, and as Tim indicated, a flavor that appealed to a majority of the consumers with a good acid sugar balance. And all of a sudden, I think the industry discovered how much people were willing to pay for a really good tasting piece of fruit. And since that time, we've had multiple new apples introduced into the market. And boy, there's a lot of good tasting apples out there now. And so branding is becoming more and more key. If a grower invests $30,000, $40,000 an acre in an orchard, we need a good branding program for that apple so that consumers are intrigued with it, are motivated to give it a try. And if the grower and the packing houses and the shippers can deliver a quality product, the consumer will be happy with it and become it'll be an apple they'll want to come back to again and again. But I think branding is becoming more and more important as we have these different high quality apples out there. And I think Cosmic Crisp is a good example of how much excitement the branding and the public relations and actually free publicity through networks and papers that what it can mean for a new product and how important that is to the grower that invested all that money to deliver a product like that.
Yeah, no, I think that's really good feedback about how how important branding can be to the success of an apple and the continuance of being able to see it in the market. So thank you for that feedback. Dawn, did you have a question?
Hi, I'm Dawn Schmidt with Washington FBLA as well. And thank you for being here and supporting our members. We're really excited for this event. I was just curious, are there different nutrients in this apple that can be highlighted, or is there some, health benefit that this apple might have that others don't? Or if not, then how competitive is it against in the nutrient realm?
Now, you said this apple. Are we talking about a particular apple?
Is it the new one that you're asking the students to brand?
Okay. I'm not real certain which one that is. I've heard some references to maybe what we call TC5, but I'm not sure.
Let me look back through some emails. Just give me a second and I'll pull that up.
While you do that, I might mention that one of the healthy attributes of these red-fleshed apples is they have more anthocyanins, which are important in disease prevention and health. Other than that, of course, all apples are an apple a day keeps the doctor away, and I think over the years, research has shown that to be true.
Yes, anti-aging, anti-cancer. There's a lot of benefits here, and just the fiber you're getting in the diet daily. It's a recommended item on the food charts for all of us. So it's a healthy, it's Mother Nature's candy bar.
They're one of my favorites. So yes, thank you. I was just curious about the difference. Can you describe the apple a little more for the students?
Yeah. So I am showing in some previous emails that this would be the TC4 variety.
Okay.
Does that sound correct, or is this TC5? Is that what you're? I guess I just want to be able to give our students some more specifics as they're trying to brand and market a certain variety of apple.
Yeah, I think Catherine Grandy kind of helped you pick out an apple to use for this project.
Yes.
And I would think TC4, TC5, or TC 14, any of those would be good. We just have to make sure we have we're all talking the same one.
No, exactly. And so I show in emails, and the information that we had kind of have kind of worked off of is that we would be using the TC4.
Okay, let's go with that.
All right, let's do it.
A TC4 is a cross between Honeycrisp and Cripps Pink or Pink Lady. It's a red colored fruit with a slight yellow background. It matures in the first part of September. It's crisp and juicy, much like its Honeycrisp parent, and has a little more tartness maybe than Honeycrisp, getting that from the Pink Lady parent. If it'd be helpful, I could send some pictures at another time, but that's kind of where we are.
Okay. So what is the intended market for this particular variety of apple? I know, I've heard from chatting with some other people that, for example, like China is one of the largest importers of red apples. And you've talked a little bit about how the sweetness and the crispness and the juiciness are all important factors in marketing and branding the apple and wanting people to buy it and convincing growers to grow it. So what is the intended market for this apple, and what are you trying to fill in the market by creating an apple like this?
First of all, it's a fairly early apple, so I think it's potentially a better option for the consumer than Gala, which is one of our earliest apples, because it's crisper and juicier and a little larger apple. Market, I think this apple would traditionally fit well with the Northern European folks who like an apple that's sweet but also has a noticeable tartness to it. I really don't know, but some of the ideas in the industry are that the Asians like a sweeter apple like Fuji, and so I'm guessing this. If that holds true, this apple might not be targeted that way.
Okay, so this would be more focused on probably a European market than, so if our competitors are trying to focus on a particular market, that might be the best matchup for them is to look at that focusing on more European market. Okay, that's great information.
And those European transplants that are the pretty good concentration of them in the upper Midwest, the Minnesotas and Wisconsins.
Okay, so that would be another target market area.
Then I think it's a great prospect for you, Bill. I really like that profile, Honeycrisp and 1040. It's definitely a domestic apple, and I'm taking the larger markets all across the U.S. I mean, the California markets, San Francisco, L.A., Chicago is a big market for us. Down in Texas, we buy a lot of food down there. So I think all the larger retail chains would be interested in something like this, this flavor profile. A little bit more tart than sweet, and Pink Lady has done well on one end of the spectrum. That's kind of the tart spectrum, and you've got Honeycrisp on the other end. Yeah, that's going to be a nice flavor profile for the domestic market.
Okay, great. Good. So what have you seen historically be a successful way to market an apple to the consumer? Is there something that really stands out as something you need to make sure you include in a marketing campaign for an apple variety?
Yeah, there's several approaches. Bill mentioned PVM, proprietary variety management. That's who's running some of our flagship new varietal offerings to the marketplace. And Bill mentioned Cosmic Crisp. That rollout is unprecedented. We might talk about that just briefly. The marketing power behind that is significant. Not just the research, 20 years in the making, but rolling out for the first year this year, it was a multi-million dollar marketing campaign hitting all of social media, influencers out there, on YouTube, we've got a chef, we even got a former commander of the International Space Station, on board. So it's created a lot of excitement, and I think that's what it's going to take, to Bill's point earlier about branding, that kind of direct marketing, hitting all of the different avenues we have in today's world. And then also, I think what's important is having growers out in the marketplace at retail, slicing, giving demonstrations, talking about the product, creating excitement in some of those key markets I mentioned. We're doing some of that in the San Francisco Bay Area, for example, and another variety we're working on. And that has great consumer pull. And nowadays, people get their cell phones out and snap the pictures, take videos, and they send them to their friends, put on Instagram, Snapchat it, Facebook even, and it goes, you know, we get some of that natural marketing with our everything we have at our fingertips right now. So I think it's kind of a multifaceted approach that we take nowadays. And probably what's important is, what is the artwork going to look like? What is the apple going to be called? So if we're talking about a Honeycrisp and a Pink Lady Cross, what's the creative name for an apple that we throw out there that would pull people and push people into buying, experiencing it? So I think that kind of this branding and artwork is an important piece of the whole process.
Okay, that's great feedback. Bill, do you have anything to add to that about the marketing campaign and what could be important in there?
Well, I think everything Tim said is right on. The name's really important, and it's very easy for a person to come up with a name. I've come up with lots of names for my apples, but working with a focus group or focus groups to help with that is a good strategy, I think. I just would like to relay one other thing. You know, our apples are called Lucy, and we've had a lot of fun with family and friends. They do what they call Lucy sightings. And so if the apple shows up in a market in San Francisco, they take, like Tim said, they take a picture of it and they forward it to all their connections, and people become aware of where they can purchase these. And for a fairly limited supply apple, that's kind of marketing. I don't know if that's branding, but it's certainly marketing strategies that help.
I bet it is. Can I add one thing to the topic here? This is a Apple branding we're talking about. Interestingly enough, we're talking about new offerings in the marketplace, and every warehouse, in our state, every group is selling an Apple is trying to come up with something new. So right now, we probably have close to 30 different new Apple varieties that are trying to vie for shelf space at retail, and there's not enough room for all these apples. So there's going to be some big winners and some big losers in this whole thing. And it's very, it's kind of scary as a grower, because we're investing, Bill mentioned, 30 to 40,000 an acre. It's actually for some of the newer plantings, or converting from a row crop field to orchard, it's more like 70,000 an acre. By the time we get everything in, all the infrastructure, ponds and stocks and housing and offices, it's not a small venture at all. So it's a little, that's where the marketing comes in, the branding focus groups Bill mentioned early on. That's starting many years in advance. I know WSU has been working on Cosmic Crisp for numerous, maybe 5 years before we rolled it out, thinking about, okay, what are we going to name it? What can we promote? How do we approach the marketplace? What is our target market? With flavor profiles, identifying all of that, coming up with marketing material, and for the media, and for print, and just for consumers in general. I think it's, with all the offerings out there, we really have to hit it right. So Apple branding and marketing is going to be key to these things. And there's going to be a lot that fall by the wayside, unfortunately.
Wow. I had no idea that there were that many varieties kind of vying for space on shelves, essentially. So
we kind of cannibalize each other with these new variety offerings. Some call it our industry consumer fatigue as well. The family or whoever's buying apples goes to the market, the store, or the Kroger or whatever, and Safeway, even Costco, and there's so many to choose from. What does it mean? What kind of the same? They're all bi-colored, kind of red and yellow. Usually it's more red than yellow. That's something that we're pushing genetically too. That's just the eye appeal. So lots of offerings, and I think we've sometimes confused our consumer. So we need to keep that in mind as we approach our marketing material.
Yeah, I think on top of that, you know, just from my personal experiences, when there's lots of varieties to choose from, what keeps you from falling back on your old standbys that you know that you like? What's the incentive to choose that new one and give it a try for the first time, or, you know, maybe even the second or third time? So I am just curious, just because you've talked about it a few times. So after you invest that $30,000, $40,000, $70,000 an acre, for growers, if you are growing a successful variety of apple, what does the return on that investment look like, and how long does that take?
Good question. Usually when you plant an orchard, you're not going to see a single dollar until third leaf, and that's kind of a slow ramp up. So we plant the tree in year one, first leaf. Year one and year two, we're growing the tree to the top of our trellis that we're supporting it on. And then in year three, we start setting our first crop. And we won't break even probably until about, if everything works perfectly, maybe 6 years, we'll start making, or we'll pay off that initial investment. And we want to keep these things in the ground at least 12 to 15 years, you know, 10 to 15 years at least. If we really hit a home run, we will go keep it in 20 years. But these systems are designed, if that variety doesn't work for us, we can graft immediately. So it's like we're building our factory, all the infrastructure's there, and we just graft on a new top, on top of that rootstock, to change varieties. We have to. We don't like to do that. That's not any way to make money and survive long term. So we need to pick a winner out of the gate. And that's why we're really excited about some of these new varieties. We've got traction in the marketplace, and that's how we really differentiate ourselves. We've talked about the reds, Red Delicious, Galas, Fuji's, Pink Ladies even. But I would say reds, Golden Delicious, Galas, and Fuji's are kind of commodity-type varieties now. People know them. They've got traction in the marketplace. We really don't make a lot of money as growers on those varieties. So we're looking for the opportunities for a more club, a specialty type of variety to make up our profit margin. So highly, you know, it's risky, but the rewards are great too. If everything goes smooth, we can hit a 10% return, no problem. If it doesn't go smooth, we can hit zero. Yeah. And we have weather risk too. You know, we get a hailstorm one year and we're in the hole for, you know, a year. So it's a very dynamic environment that we're in as farmers, but we're passionate about it. We love growing healthy food and participating in a, you know, I think a vocation that brings value to the human family. And it's a pleasure to be working with the dirt and the water and the sunlight. That's another thing we should talk about marketing-wise. I almost forgot. We are in a very unique environment in Washington State to grow some of the best tree fruit, particularly apples, in the world. So our geographic location is perfect for apples. We have abundance of water, thankfully, from the Columbia River. Typically is where we're getting most of our water from, our large planting areas. We've got four seasons. So apples need an environment where the trees get to rest for about 3-4 months of the year. We're in rest stage right now. We've got long, hot summer days and warm and cool fall nights that help us color our fruit up and create sugar in the fruit as we finish the product off. So those are some comparative advantages that are rarely found in the world. You might have the same thing in Chile, to south of us, and in New Zealand. But really, Washington State is primed to be, it's a proven ground for apples. So when you have all of those quality components that go into making an apple, it's your rich volcanic soil, again, you get the sunlight, you got the water, you got the long growing days, excellent for tree fruit. You combine that with the first class variety, that's an excellent eating experience, we have a chance to make a nice profit. And thank you, Bill. Keep breeding those apples.
Well, like you said, we already got plenty of them in the marketplace. But I think when we can deliver new products that distinguish themselves in the market, it's very helpful. You know, one of the things not mentioned. And I don't have the exact numbers here, but I always thought that with the advent of these really good tasting apples that we have in the market now, that the per capita consumption of apples in the United States would go up. But it really hasn't. And Tim, you probably know better than I do what the numbers are, but it hasn't appreciably elevated itself.
Oh, they really have.
Yeah, we have a lot of competition with other fruit, and I think the new varieties probably allow us to keep pace, but it's not increasing per capita consumption.
No, you're right. It's hovered right at about 16 pounds, 17 pounds per capita per person. You know, our population has been growing. But I think we haven't really hit the tipping point. These new varieties, we're going after a different palate. There's folks out there, particularly the younger generation, that like the eating experience. It's about trying new things. It's about sharing that with your friends and family. And post, you know, there's all kinds of blogs on various cooking and you know, things that we're using personally every day in our lives. So I think a real opportunity is here to do more direct marketing as well, something that some of us are looking at in the industry. So the usual retail chains, they could be Amazon approach, where you can have that brown truck show up at your door any, you know, within a day or two with anything you want. That's an opportunity. And so we've really got to be creative and think about how to drive that per capita consumption up. And I think these new varieties are a way to help us do that.
Well, good.
All All right. Well, I feel like we've covered a lot of ground here in a fairly short amount of time. I know I've got some good notes going here about the key points that I feel like would be important to this event and being successful in it. Is there anything else either of you can add that could help our students understand the industry better or create a really successful branding and marketing campaign, or just anything they need to know that we haven't touched on?
I think there's something about our industry that's pretty special. The development of Cosmic Crisp, we say it's WSU, but an awful lot of the money came from growers in a checkoff fee they put into research and helped support the breeding program. And like Tim said, we tend to cannibalize each other in terms of planning too much or out-competing each other. But overall, our Northwest industry is amazingly cooperative in working with each other and trying to find the best way to grow the product and deliver the product in the best way possible.
Yes, I would agree with that. We're very unique in that way. Yeah, I would say to the kids that they're looking for some resources, they can definitely go to WSU. Washington Apple Commission is a good spot, and they'll be able to Google Cosmic Crisp and find a lot of stuff too. So there are resources out there, and they can email me if they want it. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, same here. I'll be out of the country for a few weeks here, but I should be able to go by email if they have questions on the variety.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds fantastic. And I'm just so excited that you were both able to make it tonight and that you're both interested and involved in this process, because like you mentioned, we really do live in a very unique state for this type of industry. And I'm so excited that our students get to be part of participating in this industry and how to market it and brand it, and something so integral to part of being from Washington State, I think, is everyone knows Washington apples. And so I think this is just a really fantastic opportunity for our students. So do you have any questions for us before we take off for the night?
Nope. Thank you, ladies.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and start recording now.